We're talking about digital literacy in older Americans on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. There is a growing body of research that says people age 65 and older are being targeted by a wide range of online threats, like fake news, like malware attacks on their devices and money scams. A recent study found Facebook users who are over 65 shared nearly 7 times as many articles from fake news sources as the youngest age group. Are you a senior who feels overwhelmed by the internet or social media? What frustrates you? What have you mastered? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. Kevin Munger is an assistant professor of political science at Penn State University. Kevin, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hey, happy to be here.
So when we say the term digital literacy, what do we really mean by that?
So this is a term that is coming from sociology that's just starting to really get embraced by political scientists because we're realizing how important it is. And you can think of it in the same kind of terms as regular literacy, which is, we might say, the ability to consume and vet and share written information. And so digital literacy is the same idea, except that it's information on the internet.
How has the internet changed this dissemination of news and information and even our messages to our friends and relatives?
Well, really in incomprehensibly many ways, I would say. And so in everything is different. And so there are many different types of skills that go into digital literacy. And just like regular literacy, which, you know, we take, 10 years of school to learn how to read and write. That's about how long it might take to adjust to the really huge variety of platforms, news sites, different ways that you can post and comment on social networks and things like this.
Well, 10 to 12 years, then everything is new again, right?
Well, that's the question. So this is a kind of outstanding point in the research literature. Is it the case that, you know, the internet is a once a century innovation, just like the Industrial Revolution, and it's going to revolutionize society and then things will sort of settle down? Or is it the case that we're in a world that is now constantly changing in a rate we've never seen before? And we don't know yet. So I think that's a good question.
How are the online habits of older Americans different than what you see in younger people?
So this is a very new area of research, and people are just coming to this question without really expecting to see a huge variety in responses of the habits of younger and older people, and just noticing this sort of empirical regularity. And so it seems like they are primarily just more willing to click on lots of things. And so it seems like one of the major skills that it takes a while to accumulate is the ability to figure out what is good information, what is a good link, and what is not good information, what is not a good link, not a good website.
Do you find that there's frustration, that there's the patience to be able to really, vet what you're seeing?
Yeah. So one problem is, especially if you are getting on the internet for the first time as an older person, you don't have the impetus of something like school or work to force you to give you feedback on how you're doing. And you don't have a lot of contact with other people who are, let's say, a bit more digitally savvy, it's very difficult for you to know if you're doing it right at all. And so there's not that kind of, you know, in order to learn, we need to know if what we're doing is correct or not. And in the absence of this kind of feedback, I think a lot of people are just sort of stumbling around and don't really know how to get better, even if they want to.
And there's also this issue of cognitive decline. As that internet user ages, what happens?
So this is another sort of novel point, is that the increased longevity in our society and the specific age pyramid that we've experiencing with the baby boomers aging, we've simply never experienced this number of people who have lived into a time in which they are experiencing, they're alive long enough to experience that period of cognitive decline. And so there aren't that many people yet who are, let's say, over 85 and on the internet, and that's sort of when the, you know, that's when the sharpest decline tends to happen on average. And so we haven't really seen that effect too acutely yet, but it's something to look out for. So I'm concerned about this as well.
We're talking with Kevin Munger of Penn State University about digital literacy and the challenges older Americans face when they're online. You can call in with your experiences, your perspective, your questions at 800-642-1234. How do you deal with fake news or false information that you see on Facebook? How have you kept up or fallen behind with the speed of technology? Call in. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. Kevin, when we look at this research from this year that researchers found that older Americans are spreading and sharing fake news articles much more often than younger age groups, how does that strike you? What does that mean?
Well, I think it has an important implications for the general response. So if we're just talking about absolute amounts of fake news, that's kind of disguising the fact that it's really quite concentrated among a small percentage of all internet users. And in a way, this is kind of optimistic because it means that the majority of people really aren't doing that often. And so if we can identify the kind of people who are having trouble and need some help with digital literacy, it might be the case that the problem is more on the demand side for this information and thus could be easier to solve.
Why are researchers interested in understanding just how older Americans experience and spread news in this age we live in?
So first, as I said, the demographic pyramid is advancing. And so, it looks like in 2030, if we look at the rate of turnout and just the absolute number of people in each age group, so 2030 is an off-cycle congressional election, and the best estimates I've seen is that 40% of voters will be over 65 in that election. And so this is a huge voting block. And so as a political scientist, this means that we need to take these people's preferences and their experiences in the world quite seriously.
Yeah, so for a political scientist, you really have to have an eye on this aging population in the U.S. because they have interests in civic life, they have perhaps more net wealth as well, and have more preferences as to what they want and what they don't want, and that can translate online.
Oh, that's exactly right. And so there is an increasing gap between the youngest and the oldest in just in terms of their preference for candidates. So I was looking in the post-World War II era, there has not really been a consistent gap in the vote for the Democrat and Republican candidate until 2008. And in the past three elections, there's been about a 15 percentage point difference between the oldest group of people and the youngest group of people, with the oldest group of people tending to prefer Republicans.
We're talking about a growing body of research that shows how much older Americans struggle with digital literacy, and this digital divide will only grow as generations age. Gen Xers, we're not immune. This will happen to us. Kevin Munger keeps tabs on this. He's a political scientist at Penn State, and there's a line for you at 800-642-1234. Do you feel more connected or less connected because of the internet? Tell us about it. You can call in, tweet us at WPR Mornings. We'll get back to this conversation in just a minute on the Ideas Network. We're talking about older adults and their interactions with digital information and tech. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A study earlier this year out of Princeton and New York University found that older Americans are more likely to share fake news on social media than younger generations. The over 65 group shared almost 7 times as many fake news articles on Facebook than users who are in their 30s and early 40s. We're looking more closely at digital literacy with your perspective along the way at 800-642-1234. Have you taught a parent or a grandparent how to use social media? What was that like? Librarians, we want to hear from you. How do you support older Americans in your community when it comes to using the internet? Call in at 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Kevin Munger is an assistant professor of political science at Penn State, and he stays with us. Let's go to Dot now, joining us from Chippewa Falls. Hi, Dot.
Hi.
What's on your mind about this?
Well, I'd like to make a comment. There are a lot of mostly older people that really get flustered when it pertains to a lot of things where you have to have a computer for this, for that, for this, for that. And it irks me, too, that most everyone assumes that everyone has computers, and not everybody does. And nowadays, you have to have a computer to qualify for this or that. Anyway, I would like to make a comment that I'm sorry to say this, but just wait. Someday, nothing against banks or anything, but your bank may say to you, I'm sorry, all of your information on your account is lost due to the computers. So you may totally lose all of your money. And I hope I don't get a reply like, that site is secure because there's no guarantee.
And Dot, certainly you feel, and it sounds like, Dot, you definitely feel that there is that insecurity of having everything through digital access. Kevin, how does not having access to the internet or even a computer impact an older person's ability to participate in society?
No, that's an excellent point. And thanks for your call there, Dot. This clearly is the problem, is that many people feel that they are forced to get on the internet in order to participate in society. And by and large, we feel like we have crossed what researchers call the digital divide. This is a big conversation in the 2000s about the difference between people who had access to a computer and the internet and people who did not have that access. And at this point, the rate of internet access is quite high. I think it's about 90% in the U.S. But that obviously doesn't include everyone. And it's exactly the older people who are the ones who are older people, and the people with lower socioeconomic status are the ones who are less likely to have that access. And so as the world becomes increasingly digital, not having that access becomes increasingly painful in terms of your ability to bank or keep in touch with people.
Kevin, how do you see the digital literacy of older Americans influencing elections, impacting politics in our country?
So thus far, it's unclear if it has had any kind of decisive effects. I think that's a bit harder to know for sure. I think we can talk about the effects on the overall information sphere, because in this case, the consumption decisions that we all make on, for example, Facebook, decide what types of websites, for example, get weighted up in their newsfeed algorithm. And so if there is a low quality website that otherwise would completely be ignored, and they are able to basically defraud, I think I like to think of it in terms of information fraud, some lower digital literacy people into thinking that what they're putting out is legitimate, that both gives them a bit of revenue and gives them directly higher weight in Facebook itself. And so this is something that I've called a credibility cascade. And so if you get shared a few times, then someone who's a bit more digitally literate might be the next one fooled, and then it cascades up until it looks like a legitimate news story with thousands of shares.
Let's go to Jim now, joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Jim.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. What's on your mind about this?
Well, I have a kind of unique experience having been a volunteer at a literacy service located here in Wisconsin, where students and volunteers and a staff have been helping people from all over Milwaukee and all over the region. And even because of the organization, some people are coming to the U.S. and to Milwaukee for the very first time. So the way that we help these people to deal with the culture shock and to start learning the language and so forth is very, I think, very relevant to exactly what we're talking about.
And so in terms of using online technologies and showing them the ropes about how to navigate their life here, they have to touch the internet in some way, perhaps, and banking systems and other things like that. And so that's one avenue of getting them established with the internet and technology there as part of that combination.
Right. So we have tutors that are trained in this area, and it's something that is pretty new because we haven't been seeing this before, but we let people know, regardless of what language they speak or who they are friends with online, we try to encourage them. We use immersion. We don't know other languages. Some of us do, but as you can imagine, most of us know English, and we use the skills that we have most, which are what it's like to be online and use the internet and be able to talk to our neighbors and to be able to distinguish between what is important. So there's kind of like the rumor, the game that's like telephone. If you whisper to someone and you go around the room and each person whispers in the other person's ear, and by the time it gets back to you, it's completely indistinguishable what it is that the first person has said.
Jim, I want to just pause there and bring Kevin back in here. What does training look like on internet and digital literacy, and is it working for all groups of people?
So this is something I'm just starting to look into because this is the clear policy prescription. And I think it's great, the work you're doing there, Jim. I think that's really important. And I think that's a nice analogy is sort of someone coming to this country for the first time, and you have to teach them a whole host of things that we all sort of take for granted is kind of the experience of older people getting on the internet for the first time. And there's just lots of things about the structure and the relationships of these ideas that we take for granted. And so if we're doing this kind of instruction, it really has to be done in a very patient, you know, think through all of the knowledge that you kind of intrinsically or not literally intrinsically, but you have come to take for granted and spell that out so that people can start making those connections that will then allow them to have that baseline understanding of the structure of computers and the internet.
But there's a sense that if a teenager sits down with their grandparent on how to Google something, that training is just not enough, that there needs to be more of an immersion.
I think that's right. And so you know, I referenced the fact that it takes us 10 years to learn to read. And an hour of a teenager helping their grandparent is obviously helpful, and it's great, and we need more of that, but it's not enough. And so the totality of the amount of time that those of us who grew up, for example, using the internet integrated into our studies in high school and college actually spent learning is just, you know, hundreds and hundreds of hours. So you do need to spend like dedicated time learning, and that's not always something that older people are used to doing. So if the world is changing pretty slowly, you tend to accumulate most of your knowledge, you tend to do most of your learning throughout your life. And so the idea of having to do a dedicated, immersive class when you feel like you kind of understand the world is challenging for a lot of folks.
Kevin, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This has been really fun.
Kevin Munger is an assistant professor in the Department of Political Science at Penn State University. We've been talking about digital literacy and aging Americans. Coming up, we look at why procrastination is complicated, and it's not just about getting our act together with a tricked-out to-do list. New research is out on why we procrastinate, what it does to our body. We'll talk about it after this news update right here on the Ideas Network.